it is the job of Max Starks during Maximum Football, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:15 to 9:15. To give a little culture to Ron.
I love it when the big man goes ahead and dances in his chair, Basinonian, 6'8", 350.
He's not 350.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I mean, we're giving since we're giving out NFL statistics.
At
Wikipedia.
Well, that was in your playing
time,
days.
Yeah. At one point in time, you were 350, were you not?
Oh, yeah. No, I checked into training camp just below that every year.
Wow.
Except for when I came to the Cardinals, then I was like 325.
Meaning right, you right. had a clause in the contract at 350?
I mean, there might have been incentivized reasons why I should show up at 342.
All right, all right.
A couple thousand reasons, but anyways.
We should all have incentives. In
easy
our
money.
That would be nice. Here's what we do on Tuesdays, because we don't get to do it on Monday. We should. We should focus a lot on Cardinals, or during the summer months, the Diamondbacks are looking at now Coyotes and Suns, things like that. But Tuesdays give us a chance to look at the NFL as a whole, and therefore, with the great music, and at the same time, we let other people tell the stories, not us, through the things they say after the games and in their press conferences. We put it all together and call it Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. Soundgarden with Doug and Wolf.
So Aaron Rodgers admitted on the field last night after the game was over, when asked, what were you thinking after the interception, 107 left in the game, first and 10 from your own 10, he said, overtime. Wasn't even thinking that they were going to be able to get down the field, but they did.
This was an important game for us. I'd never like to use the term must win, but it was an important one.
As the Packers win 33-30 over the 49ers, they drive down for the late field goal to win it. Mason Crosby misses four field goals and an extra point against Detroit, comes back and nails every kick in the victory. But what kept that first drive alive? It's third down. The drive's done. They don't convert. And then they notice, wait, there's a flag on the field. It's Richard Sherman with an illegal contact.
They gave him a shot. You know, they gave him a shot to win the game. And that's all he needs. You know, he can do it. You know,
they gave him a shot. Who's they? Who's they, Richard?
Yeah, as he talks in the third person.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing about that. The Green Bay Packers, the number four passing team in the National Football League, right? And number 24 in sacks per attempt. That offensive line has not protected Aaron Rodgers well, and yet number two in interception rate. You put that all together, Aaron Rodgers is a great player.
Out of all three of us in this room, nobody knows Bill Belichick better than you, Wolf. And this is almost borderline trash talking for Bill Belichick to actually say, we deserve the win.
It's a great effort. We had a good week where we really worked hard during the week to prepare for them. And again, they're tough to prepare for, but we went out there and played hard, played for 60 minutes. And so I think we deserved it.
Love what we saw right there out of the New England Patriots, right? I mean, honestly, here you had this really creative offense with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and all the things the Chiefs are doing with the RPOs, right, and everything else. And then on the other side, you had the old school, the old world, so to speak, where we're just going to out-execute you. And yet they won the game. It was awesome. A clash of two offenses in that game. And for two different reasons, it was awesome to behold.
Rams 23, Broncos 20. Todd Gurley, 208 yards rushing. The Rams as a team, 270.
You know, we always talk about the team. You always want to take care of guys and reward them accordingly. But I think Todd would say the most important thing about today was getting the win. And we're certainly, you know, happy and proud of Todd to be able to get over 200. And he did an excellent job today. And that's a credit to him and the offense as a whole.
Max, here are your numbers. Isaiah Crowell for the Jets, 219 yards rushing as a team, 323 against the Broncos. And then the next week, Gurley on Sunday goes for the 208. First rush defense in the history of pigskins that has ever given up 200 yards rushing to two different running backs in back-to-back weeks. And that's the team coming to State Farm Stadium on Thursday.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And you have you already know what's been said. You already
cracked himself up right there.
That's good. You already know Mike McCoy said, or excuse me, when asked about Mike McCoy, Steve Wilks saying,
"I would say all our jobs are in jeopardy, including mine if we don't win."
Well, how about John Elway using the phrase "fighting for our lives"?
You really have to make an effort to stay positive with it, continue to try to work at it, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this. And so hopefully we can continue to do that this week and with a short week get turned around and, you know, take a mentality into that Thursday night game that we're fighting for our lives.
Yeah. It's, I would say this, it would be tributary meet ocean as far as run defense goes in Thursday night football.
This might be the fastest game in the history of the National Football League. I kid you not, because, again, you know, the Arizona Cardinals have really struggled to stop the run. And in particular, I would say in two back, well, they've got 21 personnel up there in Denver. They've got Janovich, their fullback, as a matter of fact, a guy they absolutely love, a guy that is, I would say, similar, of course, to what the 49ers were doing with Kyle Juszczyk and their fullback. I think we could see the same thing in rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1-6, an awful lot of 21 personnel. They're going to run the ball against the Cardinals' front seven, and you better believe the Cardinals are going to try to get David Johnson going as well. This could be the fastest game in the history of the National Football League.
Guess what strange article I read this week? Totally speculation, but the article was, how do you solve putting a team in London with all of the travel issues it creates? The answer? Put two of them in London. Put one in Tottenham and put one in Wembley, so when you go, you spend the week and play the other team while you're there. So why does that matter? Guess what Russell Wilson said after playing in London against the Raiders?
It was an amazing experience. It was kind of a Super Bowl atmosphere, really, to be honest with you. And the energy was amazing. It was loud as could be. It was, just an amazing, amazing atmosphere in front of an amazing crowd and an amazing stadium in Wembley.
Max, it was amazing.
Amazingly amazing. But I think,
how many times did he say it?
Exactly. I think does he have a contract with Webster's to use that word?
I think he said amazing six times, which is the number of times Derek Carr was sacked in that very same game.
But I think the other issue you have to deal with is that, yes, it's a Super Bowl atmosphere because it's played there twice a year. When you have 16 games between the two teams,
yeah,
8-8 home for both.
Yeah. Yep.
Does that crowd still maintain its ferocity? Does it still maintain
its
mystique?
Yeah.
That's the issue I have. And it's a long commute. Those eight games that each team will play away are going to be four. Imagine when they draw Seattle.
Yeah, they're going to come
as an away game.
Yeah,
you might as well fly to Australia. Yeah. I mean, at that point, because it's that far away, so it's a true disadvantage to where they're going to have to spend time in the States for at least 3-4 days to get acclimated.
Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
As always, guys.
That's Max Starks, not only for Soundgarden, but for Maximum Football. You'll get more Max coming up at 8:15 on Thursday morning here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Up next, let's go Hoops. Suns, home opener tomorrow night, season opener tomorrow night, and they're getting ready. What are our expectations? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
You 2 seconds on somewhat breaking news. I don't want to act like you're going to stop what you're doing, but if you care about the way the Cardinals season is falling apart, you might already care about the 2019 NFL draft. And Nick Bosa is pulling a Miles Jack right now.
Really?
Nick Bosa being hurt, he just decided, I'm withdrawing from Ohio State, getting ready for the 2019 NFL draft. So he's done.
Oh,
Joey Bosa's little brother.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
right there.
He had a bad groin injury, and it's just announced that he's not playing college football anymore and getting ready for his NFL career.
Wow.
Yeah. I totally understand it, but it's sad when whenever a college kid does it because I love college football. But I mean, I get it. You know, if you're that good, you're going to college to be a professional, just like a lot of us went to college, and that's your profession now. And get yourself healthy, get ready for the draft.
Just play the game. Just play the game.
I'm so with you on a lot of things on that, but not when we're talking about a severe injury.
Play the game. Severe injury. His groin? What did he do? Shred it?
Oh, he had surgery on it.
He pulled. So, yeah. In other words, he did 10.
It was a bad.
I stand corrected.
There's a lot of people that agree with you hey, suck it up, stay in with your team.
Surgery is not good on your groin, ladies and gentlemen, ever.
Never
forget that, my young crack brother.
Yes. Surgery in general sometimes can be a little rough to come back from. This was an interesting situation with Igor Kokoschkov, both last night on our Suns preview show and today, in which it does sound like Devin Booker is the short-term point guard, is kind of what I'm getting from listening to it.
Well, when it comes to the book, you know, we asked him to do so much, and he's accepting the challenge. The question comes up to the, you know, I don't want to waste our best offensive weapon to guard point guards necessarily. Like I said, he's going to score for us, he's going to defend, obviously, and he's going to play make. And in a crunch time, you're putting your best group on the court and trying to win a game. So he's going to play some, but I don't think that's going to be long-term.
So he's going to play some, but I don't think he's going to play there long-term. Well, does that mean some as in exclusive point guard for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then somebody else? Or when you say he's going to play there some, does that mean some every night?
Yeah.
But not the whole game.
Forgive me for doing this, Douglas, but did he call him the book?
Yeah.
So I heard that correctly.
Yes, you did.
For getting sidetracked, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you're not. It's who you are.
D-book. I know. Absolutely right. D-book. The book. Oh, I like that. I like that, Igor. The book.
Well,
the book is going to do what the book does.
Oh, no.
The book's going to read like it reads, bruh. I like that. The book.
This is Igor then today with us, in which the coach was just asked, who is your starting point guard? And we didn't get a name.
We'll see. We'll see tomorrow. I mean, there's no secret that we don't play games. You know, a lot of coaches in NBA, they announce starting lineups just an hour before the game. And, you know, for us, we'll still spend some time discussing what's the best. And you know, we're trying to turn it into our strength.
Oh, my goodness. This is really, really good stuff right here. Listen, tomorrow night, I cannot wait. This is going to be something we've all been waiting for, right? Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about this, I would imagine, all morning, right? Tomorrow morning, leading up to the game. We're not big on review. We're not big on preview either, right? I mean, it's something we really don't do here on the Doug and Wolf Show. But I will tell you right now, my friends, we're going to be all over that thing with DeAndre Ayton making his debut. And look, everybody, there's Luka Doncic, right? And it was interesting because do you have the cut where I asked Igor about that? The fact that, hey, listen, you know what? What are you going to say to DeAndre Ayton, right? What are your expectations for DeAndre Ayton in this game? Because one would think that maybe he might be trying to play Luka Doncic and not the Mavs, right?
You might not realize this, but we never cut up the sound of your questions.
Why is that?
Because, I mean,
it's such a good question. DeAndre Ayton.
No, honestly, I just made that up. It was a good question. We just haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, right. Of course you haven't.
But I'm not in charge of that.
The script goes right there. Boy, look at that, Maloney. I see how that goes. And yet he knew exactly what I was talking about when I asked him about the expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him going out there trying to prove, I'm the better player. I'm the better player. I beat you, Luka Doncic. Right? You don't want that. You want a guy going out there trying to do his job within the context of beating the Mavs.
Let's face it. If Ayton fouls out and has 10 points, 4 boards.
Here's the undeniable truth.
And this team needs a point guard, and Doncic just dominates for the Mavericks.
Doncic.
People are going to ask, did they get it right?
They score 30, right? Doncic goes out there and lights it up, and he scores 30, puts a 30-burger up there.
10 assists.
And DeAndre Ayton fouls out early in the third quarter.
I will.
With two boards.
Listen, the way I anticipate a Jamal Crawford and Devin Booker backcourt.
There might be an overreaction.
I truly believe fans are going to be able to drive the lane against those two. There's a very good chance DeAndre Ayton's in bad foul trouble dealing with guards in the lane all the time.
Can you imagine how your phone would blow up, ladies and gentlemen, if that was the case? Luka Doncic puts up 33 and DeAndre Ayton scores 2 points with 3 boards.
Yeah, here we go. And I'll still love Ayton, but I'll bring it up too.
Oh my goodness. One game and it will be over for some dudes out there.
Here is one thing that I don't understand though. And that is, if Robert Sarver was so hell-bent on firing Ryan McDonough for not having a point guard, and the season starts tomorrow night, where's the point guard?
Well, Jamal Crawford. Right, I mean that's.
Let me ask this again. Where's the point guard?
You know exactly what I'm saying, though. This is why I said Douglas earlier on this broadcast. There's no way that was their solution, right? That wasn't the solution to the point guard position, Jamal Crawford.
I mean, what am I missing? Because clearly, to me, unless it was an ultimatum from weeks ago, hey, you will have a point guard by this day, and it didn't happen, so boom, you're gone. Which I don't believe that's what happened. Then I don't hear about, and I could be wrong, I don't remember hearing on the waiver wire any trades of a point guard to somebody. So if there was a move that Ryan McDonough said, that's too high a price, I'm not going to do it. Robert Sarver, why didn't you now do the deal that you've got him out of the way?
Yeah.
And if the deal was Ryan McDonough is saying, Jamal Crawford does not save our point guard problems, that was you saying, yes, it does?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get, like, what did you do at the point guard position that justifies why you had to hire or fire Ryan McDonough?
Exactly.
You've done nothing.
Nothing.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
And again, I don't know what to blame Ryan McDonough for and what not to. So I am not standing on the soapbox attacking the firing of Ryan McDonough.
Yeah.
And I am not standing on the soapbox defending Ryan McDonough either. I don't know what to blame him for because we know Robert Sarver's involved in everything.
Right.
But if you fire him, then don't you have a solution?
Maybe Ryan McDonough was on the phone and Robert Sarver was in the back of the room yelling out, you know what? We'll get Jamal Crawford. That's what we'll do. You can take your deal and stick it.
It's Pick Your Thursday Night Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by the Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win your choice of tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Broncos or ASU Stanford tickets. Just listen at 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance. Just imagine you're in negotiations for anything, and you got some guy yelling.
Some
in the
guy's
back.
Yelling in the background.
Never mind that. Oh,
no.
Who's that?
No.
That's my boss.
That's my dad, dude. I'm sorry. I mean, honestly, right? That's what you used to do.
Oh, that's true. That's the last person that yells behind you. You're not going over there. I don't think
you're not going to that party. It's the last thing you'll do.
Who's the most to blame for the Cardinals 1-5 record? The GM, the players, the coaching staff? Or is it just one person? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Aaron Maloney from the Auction Community Studio. What is today's poll question?
Who is to blame for the Cardinals 1-5 record?
Oh!
77% say coaches and bad schemes, 12% say players and poor execution, 11% front office and poor talent evaluation.
I'm really interested in your answer. Yeah?
Players.
You were so interested you wouldn't let him finish it.
12.
No, he was talking yet.
12%.
Man, Maloney's angry.
I mean, honestly, right now, players win games. That is my philosophy. Anyone who's listened to this broadcast, you know that. Players win games. Coaches lose them from time to time, but players win games. No offense. Coaching matters. It's important. There's no doubt about that. The players win games.
Well, let me... I admit I'm spinning what you said. But if players win games, why do you not blame the front office for those players?
Well, because this team was 8-8 last year, largely. I realize they have some turnover, but I'm trying to think of that one guy that totally changed it. Well, Carson Palmer would be a big guy, a big loss, right? But that's retirement. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a new rookie quarterback that is supposed to pick up the quarterback mantle now and lead you to victory. That's going to be difficult to do going forward, right? I'm trying to think of the one guy that they truly, maybe Carlos Dansby. Maybe, believe it or not, a Carlos Dansby-type guy. They truly miss a guy like Los Dirty.
I'm sorry to cop out on that question. I don't know why we would stop pointing the finger at anybody. I mean, in the time that it takes you to point the finger at somebody, you can move that finger and point at somebody else. I mean, I look at, yes, all of them are to blame. I believe when I listen to the coaches say there are mental errors here.
Yep.
The difference between, and listen, all of us, we come at it from, if you're like me anyway, I shouldn't speak for you as a listener, but I come at it from a high school Harry type of attitude. I played three sports in high school. The coach yells at you, do this, you do it. And that's it. While when you're in the NFL, it's different for all of us. Your job is to do it. That's 100% your job. And therefore, when a player isn't doing what they're told to do, you're not doing your job. That's completely different than how all of us turn it. So I totally agree with you looking at the players, but I do look at the coaches and say, okay, what are you coaching? Are you evaluating the players poorly, expecting somebody to do something they're not good at doing, that they simply lose that battle every time? I'm going to make something up because I don't know if this is happening, but let me give you the example of Mike Iupati pulling, okay? Doesn't mean you'll never have him pull, but are you really going to have him pull on a sweep versus just hit the guy in front of you and run him over? You know, there's different people who are better at different things, and if you are constantly asking players to do things they physically cannot do or physically are poor at, that to me isn't the player. That's the coach.
Everybody is to blame. There's no doubt about it. And I would say equal parts here. For me, once again, being a player, I believe that. That is my mantra, ladies and gentlemen. It's dogma with me that players win games. Players win games. And if you don't have players going out there playing well, you're going to lose. I'm trying to look at the schemes the Arizona Cardinals are running, and I don't see any schemes. There may be a lack of creativity, ladies and gentlemen, but again, that doesn't mean you're not going to be good because you're not creative.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference, right, ladies and gentlemen? It doesn't mean you're not going to be good because you don't have a creative offense. BA had the most vanilla of vanilla offenses you could possibly have. Run the ball in between the tackles and then use play action to throw it over their heads down the field. That was his offense.
Let me use the word,
let
me use the word creative in a different way and see how you feel about this. Since this offense is, and I'm not trying to be a jerk to the individuals that do this for their living, but this offense is pathetic. I mean, that's the best word you can use.
Yes.
This offense is pathetic.
Yes.
And since it's pathetic, isn't it time for Mike McCoy to be creative?
Yeah, but again, that's a great question, Douglas. It's a great question and a valid one right there. But why would you do that if you can't get your guys to understand your base offense? They're blowing base plays, base protections, base routes. Listen, once again, I wanted to see David Johnson walk out into the slot, be used as the number one receiver, and put him in a bunch formation, run a jet sweep. I wanted to see it, but again, you're not going to just win because you're creative. You don't have to be creative to win. You don't have to be creative to be good. The NFL is just replete with examples over and over of base concepts where they just had good players and they went out there and they executed. You know what? Honestly, most people would say David Johnson is a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he's a great football player, right? One of the most dangerous weapons you can have in the league. He's not playing well. He's not. Now, again, You talk about mental mistakes and not being creative, ladies and gentlemen, you can talk about all of that. But to me, if you want to talk about this offense and the failure to get guys like David Johnson playing well or the offensive line to play up to its potential or the wide receiver room, if you want to go ahead and blame some coaches, you go ahead and do that. That, I understand. They're not playing well. The results stink right now.
And I admit that's where I'm at.
Exactly. But, again, just don't, I guess my pet peeve, don't put, it's not a creative offense. And because of that, he stinks. And, you know, they've got to get more creative. Fire him because he's not creative. That's my point. Okay, you want to fire him, I get it. Go ahead and fire him. But just know what you're talking about. Because it's not due to a lack of creativity. It's due to a lack of results and getting it done.
If they lose Thursday, it's going to be really interesting Friday morning. And I'm because I think we're at the point now where there would be 1-6 where it's actually on Michael Bidwell's desk now. Where you as the president kind of have to look around and say, okay, do I believe Steve Wilks has good players and is screwing it up?
No.
And not that you fire Wilks, but you do fire on Mike McCoy or you demand changes. Or do you look at Steve Keim and say, you know what, I think Wilks is the right guy. You didn't give him good players. And you do something there. And if you don't like either of those answers, if you're Michael Bidwell, I think you got to eat it for the rest of the year.
Here's the whole
thing.
I think
you just eat it and say, you know what, we'll get through this year and then let's make the decisions at the end of the year.
That's what's going to happen right there. That's what I think will happen because this is perplexing. There's so much confusion surrounding it. Who's to blame?
Yeah.
I think you let the season play out and you'll know.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast. It's brought to you this week by Kinetico. Forget our poll results. Up next, Paul's call will unveil the results of Ron Wolfley's physical. How did he get that? Be afraid. Be very afraid. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
HIPAA.
Paul's Call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
I think most people in town, they're, you know, they're like me.
You stay classy, Phoenix.
We're all like, hey, how did you guys even get this show?
Who the hell are you?
I mean, did you guys pass, like, some sort of test?
Are you saying I can take this money if I help you pass the test?
What do you think?
Because in an effort to avoid hiring disasters like Doug and Wolf.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
The Angels are mandating a written test.
A two-hour written test, meaning you got to hit the desk. It's an SAT.
Yeah.
If you want to manage the Angels, they're administering a two-hour written test to candidates.
You think I'm stupid or something?
The question span, analytical, interpersonal, game management aspects of the job.
If that's where they want to go, that's fine. I'm out, personally.
John Hart on MLB Network, former longtime GM of the Indians.
In 1999, I hired Charlie Manuel. Charlie Manuel, hard to put two sentences together. Charlie, I love him. Smartest baseball guy I know. Dear personal friend. Kid him all the time. But
right.
Charlie's not going to pass the written test.
That's a shot at Charlie.
An anvil slam.
I mean, do you got to crunch numbers on this test? I mean, you know, calculate math equations.
It's not a runner at second base is traveling at so many miles an hour. Can he score from?
No,
pinch run for him.
I mean, I don't need a test to tell me the Yasmani Nomas ain't gonna score from second.
I'm not gonna know what is inside of Charlie Manuel unless I can sit down and talk to him or I've been around him.
I mean, did the test tell you that your old manager Mike Socha missed the playoffs in 8 of his last 9 seasons?
Anyone know what this
right?
is? Class.
Yeah, just stop
anyone?
It. Just
anyone?
Stop it.
Anyone?
You know, we hire and fire with the Sawed-Off Shotgun of Sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and another test in someone's direction.
Moon River.
So,
funny.
Wolf, how'd the physical go? One day after your birthday, you got the physical.
Drop your shorts and bend over, Mr. Babar.
Ain't no way you passed your physical.
You using the whole fist, Doc?
As a matter of fact, Polly, I passed it in flying colors.
No. Get Doc Cool on the line again. I mean, you know, actually, I'm going to tell you, Wolf, Hate to say this.
Doc Cool said I should be in a medical journal for testosterone level.
Yeah, what he really said, and you can text him right now because this is fact. You can book it. That the fifth straight year, whatever, all that counts is this year. My testosterone count tops yours.
Who's got the largest arms in the world, brother?
Well, that's not what he told me.
Well, 700 plus over here, yo.
I'm kind of a big deal.
That's not what he told me, Paul.
The alpha male around here.
King Kong ain't got on me.
I don't even consider you competition anymore. Get Big Mac Starts back in here.
I'm the dude, man.
He did talk about the condition you had on your back.
That's it. Stop it. No. No, you
probably have to settle this and get him in here to test.
Just get out of here. Wolf's just making up stuff right now. I mean, let's be honest, Wolf, you see this? Now, you hear this? This is the frying pan. Wolf, you go back to your old ways of just eating bacon with every meal.
You don't have any, do you?
Did you enter that NASCAR sweepstakes, by the way?
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake.
Actually, it was more like shake in bacon.
Bacon for life. Somebody's going to win bacon for life. Literally, bacon for life.
Okay. That's a real clip from the winner's circle at Talladega there, Doug.
How dare you say that about Alabama?
Eric,
how dare you?
I've been there.
Almirola, dude snaps a 149 race losing streak.
Yeah, that's embarrassing right there.
His second win in 275 races, but the real winner.
Got a winner in town.
Is the fan who now wins bacon for life.
I want winners.
That was the sponsor promotion that was on his car. They got a big logo of a slice of bacon with the words bacon for life if he won.
Because they're winners. Winners get to do what they want.
And since they figured he'd never win, well, someone now is going to be eating bacon and basically until they're in a rest home.
I eat 5 strips of bacon.
That's right. Wolf, this is going to be you, grumpy old man, you know, sitting in Sun City on your golf cart.
And for lunch, I eat a bacon sandwich. Yeah. And for a midday snack, bacon. Bacon, a whole damn plate.
Yeah. No, Paul, I'm going inside the compound, not outside the compound.
Did you catch this story, by the way, speaking of bacon?
A sheriff's deputy in California lured an enormous runaway pig back to its pen by making a trail of Doritos in the streets.
Of course.
It's no joke. Actually, here's the joke.
I guess you could say that deputy knows how to bring home the bacon.
Okay. Alrighty then.
We, who was that, Paul?
We bring that laugh up because we're comparing that laugh with your son's media dude.
I'll do recall.
You got that guy, and then you got this lady.
Who was that, Paul?
It was just some random lady. She was a lottery winner about 2 years ago, and she's just up there at her press conference. She sounded like that media guy.
I'll do recall. Yeah.
Turn of fortune.
By the way, because everything always seems to happen in threes, we get this story now, Doug.
Oh, some pork problems at Hartsfield-Jackson.
Okay. The Atlanta airport. Dave Pasch just went through there. Because
airport officials discover a cooked pig in checked luggage.
What? Someone packing a pig and the police dog.
Canine Hardy, a member of the airport's Beagle Brigade, alerted them to the baggage of a traveler from Ecuador.
I bet he did.
Yeah, the dog's like,
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Except it was a roasted pig.
And inside, specialists discovered this, a nearly 2-pound roasted pig head.
That's right in the check luggage.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, if you're not aware.
Pork and pork products from other continents not allowed into the United States.
Right.
Nothing for you.
That's right.
The pig was seized and discarded.
I mean, what's wrong with people?
Paul, did it. Didn't we actually have a pig head at corporate dinner?
The bald boss man had to point out to Wolf that 2 years ago at a corporate dinner, on one of the big platters was a roasted pig head. Wolf didn't even remember it.
Did not even remember it. You're kidding me.
That's what happens.
Dinner
this
on
isn't
the
gonna,
road.
This isn't going to shock you, but I wasn't invited to that. They didn't want me.
It was on the road. Yeah,
it was, you know. It was
I think there were other reasons.
It was open bar, Wolf. That's why you don't remember.
Knock it off, Paul.
And now it's time for moderation.
I'll be gone dang.
How many times have we said the quickest way to big money is to fleece pet owners?
So why did nobody think of this before? You can now kick back and have a beer with your dog, thanks to a couple from Houston.
Doug, it's a beer Friday for you, and you're like,
hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh?
Yeah. Ooh, a couple of Charles Bukowskis?
Except It's a beer with your dog.
I'll be gold dying.
For real.
Megan beer. And Steve Long created a new line of beer for dogs called Good Boy Dog Beer.
What? You were the dude boozing before the Minnesota game at Gaston.
What kind of beer would you create for dogs?
They started production in August. There are three kinds. Listen to these names. IPA, lot in the yard. Get it? I pee a lot in the yard.
We get it. We don't have to have you describe
please.
It, buddy.
Dog version of an IPA. No, it actually gets worse.
Mailman malt liquor.
Mailman malt liquor. And
session squirrel.
Session squirrel.
Come on, Mark, pick a dog for me.
So I guess win or lose, both you and your dog can booze.
I'll be called dang.
Although not exactly.
The dog beers are either pork, chicken, or veggie-based. Yuck. And they are non-alcoholic.
That's right. You might want to.
I was wondering.
That's right.
I'll be called
dang. And the beers have been such a hit for dogs that they're coming out with.
They're releasing another one next month called the Crotch Sniffing Ale.
Okay.
Stop it.
Just stop
I'll
it.
Be All right, Paul.
That's
dang.
It, Wolf. I mean, sir, what kind of show
are you
running
serious,
around here? That's
Paul.
It.
Paul.
It's Paul's goal.
Wrap it up. Thank you, Paul.
He's wrapped it.
Wrap it up.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big question from today's show is from Paul's call. When you go straight from the pig and the guy eating bacon in Talladega to the pig being led home, it brings up the question, would pigs eat bacon?
Wolf will let you know when they create martinis for dogs. So on Friday night, you can have three or four of them with Baron.
Paul, there'll be no three or four. There'll be one on a Friday night, of course.
Yeah!
Let me just say, ladies and gentlemen, peace and strength.